Hey, is there really an inventory problem? Mike and I will talk about digital mortgage, mortgage technology, and the customer experience. All coming up next on this episode of Reasonably Speaking with Mike and Sean. Hey, thanks for checking in for this episode of Reasonably Speaking. And I wonder if we should probably get a better title. That one doesn't roll off the tongue so easily. I kind of fumble
reasonably
it every time.
Reasonably Speaking?
Yeah, you do.
Or People Speaking Reasonably.
Yeah, you do it better than I do is what it is. I'm Sean Thompson.
I'm Michael Bordinsky.
And thanks for checking in. And we got a good show for you today.
Good to see you again.
Good, there you go.
Yeah. It's been a while, right?
Yeah, it's been a little bit. I think our last show was about a month away, and we got a good one for you today. Hey, if you want to find us, it's Reasonably Speaking Show on YouTube. Otherwise, you could find us at our respective channels, me on Facebook, at The Renovation Guy, on Twitter, at 203K, on Instagram, at FHA203K. And on there's various different podcast apps you can grab, but the popular ones are obviously Spotify and iTunes and all things Sean Thompson, the Renovation Guy. You can find this show there, which you'll be able to kind of listen to audibly if you kind of use podcasts on your drive in and out, to and fro, kind of what you do. Mike, tell them where they can find you.
You can find me at Mike Borodinsky on Twitter. And at Mike Bordinsky on Facebook and at Mike Bordinsky on Instagram.
Awesome.
It's easy to find me.
It's easy to find you.
Just spell my name right and then you'll really be
well, that's the hard part, right? You know, so, hey, we want to talk to you about a couple things. Hey, I want to talk about inventory solutions first. You know, it is no secret and it's being touted and I see it a lot talked about in real estate forums, whether you're looking to buy a house or, you know, maybe get out of the one that you're in or list your house. There is this talk about inventory problems, and I think it's been brewing, you know, when you think about it, it's been brewing over the last 10 or 15 years in a sense that the market isn't keeping up with the demand for housing, especially when you're looking at markets, you know, like some of the more populated markets in the Northeast, Mike, would, you know, where, you know, we have a great segment of people growing into, you know, being the demographic that would buy homes that when they do choose to do so, it's not a lot out there to choose from.
There's a major problem with inventory. It's been ongoing and it's caused, there's been consequences, you know, to what's happened. First of all, people want to live in certain areas. You know, the demographic could be very school system sensitive. It's very important for people to want to choose where they want to live, what the neighborhood's going to be like, the lifestyle, access to services, whether it's rail and mass transit, access to, whether it could be shopping, mall, entertainment, anything. It's all part of people's lifestyle. So if a neighborhood fits and it's in the right area, has a good school system, easy access to, let's say, Manhattan, and in certain price points, as soon as a home goes on the market, it sells.
It seemed for a while there, it was people looking to populate cities and places closer to work than before. And then it kind of moved to, you know, people being able to be remote. And maybe, you know, the sprawl was still in full effect. You know, but I think it's kind of a combination of both. I think we can't ignore the elephant in the room, too, which is taxes, property taxes really helping out, you know, with the sprawl. I mean, it's really difficult when you get out and buy and you want a house that's, you know, in the mid-range and the taxes are just so high that it forces you to think about some up-and-coming areas where you get a lot of relief on what your monthly payment would be.
Depending on the town, depending on the county, and depending on, again, the school system, is all these factors, because the town could make itself so prohibitive in terms of affordability by virtue of the fact that the property taxes are just too darn high.
And I'm always amazed. I look at, you know, there. I think there's – a silent inventory out there. You know, and realtors, if you're watching too, I mean, take note here. There's certainly an inventory of houses out there that are on the market being sold that need renovation that I know you're not comfortable showing because, well, let's face it, they're either ugly or, you know, unfinanceable, in some cases uninhabitable, right? I don't want, I don't know if we should discount those in lieu of our inventory problem as well, because there's some really good buy for X, renovate for Y, you know, and then the end result ends up a lot less than what you would spend for a good house that comes on the market, you know, so that could be a real good solution to an inventory problem and where you want to live.
Yes, it creates inventory that otherwise wasn't there. Okay, and then it not only creates inventory, it creates quality inventory, because now not only are you creating a home that is going to be new and improved, but adaptable to the lifestyle of the buyer.
I don't know if you noticed, Mike, but I started featuring fixer-uppers, on the Renovation Rundown show, you know, just to kind of point to this. I mean, if I can go on to Zillow or Realtor.com and do a search, you know, that starts with as is, handyman special, fixer-upper, buyer responsible for, you know, and end up with a ton of property spit back at me, then you can do that too. You can do it as an agent and maybe have some opportunity. You can do it as a buyer and maybe get the HGTV Property Brothers style purchase going on, you know, with financing that allows you to finance the cost to buy the house plus the cost to renovate or customize all together in one, becoming a lot more popular. That's a great way to sidestep the inventory problem.
Yeah, I mean, taking it through the steps, Sean, because it's a simple process, people don't realize that they get to finance the renovation up mm-hmm. front. It's not something that they have to buy first and then search for money later.
Yeah, and the search for money later is a lot more difficult than people are told. You know, trying to find renovation money after you've already bought the house, that is not attached to the property, meaning it's like a personal line of credit, you know, and B, with equity that if you put down less than 10%, you don't have, right? So that's really hard.
The other thing that I want to say is that what could be better than really designing a home in advance of closing so that the buyer actually knows what their house is going to be like when it's complete?
I mean, you look at Manhattan, a lot of that happens in Manhattan now because of, you know, they've gotten so comfortable with, I mean, Manhattan's only so big. There's only so many, and they built up in Manhattan, but there's only so much building going on. So what people do, you know, is they take into account the location, the building, and then they renovate to their liking, you know, the house that they ultimately want. All right, so this concept can happen all over. You know, all you need to do is warm up to the renovation financing, and then any house you find that you want to make repairs or upgrades to with very little down payment for, we can help you with. And I think that's a good way to sidestep the inventory problem, as I said before.
That's great.
Yeah. What about the high dollar houses?
Well, dollar houses is becoming a problem, and this is something that, you know, has to be discussed, is that we're starting to see changes in this marketplace, especially on homes that are probably over $1 million.
Those are the ones with the biggest tax burdens, if
Correct.
You ask me. I mean, New Jersey's not the only market, but man, we're not doing homebuyers any favors with this runaway property tax issue.
No, because then you know, now we're dealing with a political issue, and the states, you know, and I'm talking about both sides of the political aisle in the state of New Jersey, their inability to address fiscal problems, which translates into where the money gets allocated to each of the school districts. It's really about school district funding, and that's where it translates into a property tax evaluation.
Yeah, the exodus from really expensive property taxes is certainly underway, and I'm curious to see how that plays out.
But getting back to what I was saying with regards to inventory that's not moving, it's when you get to, you know, homes over $1 million, especially homes over 1.5, obviously two things. One is there's less available buyers that can afford that home. But two, those homes are now sticking out like a sore thumb because of what we just talked about with property taxes. and people are just not as willing to go ahead and make that that choice to buy right now. And now you're seeing that inventory sit a lot longer than it was. You've got homes between 400 and 700 or 500 and 800 that at the minute they come on the market, they're just going off the shelf, okay? And there's an inventory problem there. Yet at the same time, when you have homes over a million, million five, they're not moving.
Do you feel like new construction is sort of paddling really hard to catch up? You know,
well, there's in some respects, yes, because from a nationwide standpoint, way behind. Nationwide, way behind. The builders have, you know, between 2008 and 2014, were not building at all. Pretty much. There was hardly anything going in the ground. What builders were more concerned with during that period was selling off their excess inventory that they couldn't get rid of. So nothing was going into the ground. That created an undue shortage by itself, because then builders started to get back into the market as it recovered, not until probably the last 5 years. And we're still playing catch up in that regard. So even in New Jersey, you have two problems. One is obviously a lack of inventory of new, and on top of that, you have a regulatory challenge to get over, because there isn't a lot of available land that could be developed without going through an enormous amount of litigation and to get the project approved for development.
Right. Well, we only hope that they catch up. We know that, you know, people aren't getting any younger, and there's a whole slew of folks that are getting of the age where homeownership is becoming possible for them. We see that the mortgage market is getting a lot more friendlier, you know, to first-time homebuyers, which starts the trend. First-time homebuyers come in, they buy the starter homes, and the people who were in those starter homes for a little while move up, you know, to their next stage in life. So hopefully the builders continue to do what they're doing. Maybe we find some relief in dealing with the uglier houses. I say that affectionately, of course, with the uglier houses on the market, and you get a chance to get out and renovate them. You know, also, just to switch topics a little bit, there is a lot of talk about what the Fed is doing, you know, with rates, you know, where rates are going.
They met yesterday
and what that means for you. You know, when it comes to borrowing money, you know, for a house, you know.
So the Federal Reserve met yesterday. They typically meet quarterly. And this most recent meeting, they didn't do anything, okay, in terms of actually setting or making a policy change by adjusting rates up or down. They didn't do anything. But with that announcement of doing nothing, they set a sort of a financial condition or expectation, they sort of make a policy statement. And with that policy statement, they basically said, we're going to raise rates again. It's just a matter of time. The market conditions in terms of employment, full employment in the economy.
I heard we're doing good with employment.
We're doing good with employment. We're doing good with consumer demand, purchases. We're doing good with inflation, believe it or not. But, you know, the economy is moving, you know, pretty strong. And the most recent GDP report that came out showed a growth of 4.1%, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So with that, we can anticipate in September a 0.25% rise in the federal funds rate, and in December another 0.25% rise.
And I happen to be in that camp as well. There's a slew of economists who are skeptical of moving too fast, because we stayed low for so long, you know, that this could sort of start to curtail the growth that we've been enjoying. So
the Fed feels that they can slowly, you know, this isn't too fast, and that, you know, two more Fed increases of 0.25% is not going to alter growth to any real degree. What they're trying to do is, it's a Goldilocks scenario, you know, to get the economy not too hot but not too cold, keep inflation under control so that doesn't become a problem, because runaway inflation is really the big problem that spooks the bond markets, which affects interest rates.
Yeah.
So will that mean anything to the consumer? Yeah, it's gonna affect your credit card rates. It's gonna affect maybe some car loan rates. Maybe even affect your home equity rate. Not necessarily your mortgage rate. Mortgage rates have run up in anticipation of what the Fed's gonna do already. So we're already, we a year ago, where were we? We were 1% lower in interest rates. So we were in the mid threes a year ago. Now we're in the mid fours.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about that real quick.
I think there's I like to put this in perspective and maybe call it the common sense index.
Bingo.
Is what I'm going to call it, right? And that is what does, and people shop and you're shopping for the lowest rate, and I get it, and pennies matter, all right? They do matter. But the difference between, for example, let's take a $300,000 mortgage at 4.5%, note rate being calculated at 4.5%, which is what your monthly payment is calculated on. The principal and interest on that is $1,520. The same $300,000 mortgage calculated at 4.875, 3/8, 0.375 higher, all right, is $1,588 a month, all right? So when you think about that, and 3/8 is what we would consider in the mortgage industry to be a pretty hefty jump, you know, 3/8 is $68 per month. So that's the common sense right there. If you're in a position to buy and you're all set and life is dictating that it's time you either purchase or move up, we're talking about 3/8 on a $300,000 mortgage being $68 a month.
Which isn't right? Extraordinarily high. It's not impactful to most people. I'm not saying it isn't impactful to anyone, but it isn't impactful to most people. And then we have to look at things in perspective, okay? And this is the most important thing. You know, we get nervous, or we start getting, you know, panicky over rates going from 4.5 to 4.875. Let's just say that happens, okay? But in historical terms, we're still looking at interest rates as low as they have been in the last 35 years.
Agreed. That steep decline started back in the mid 80s.
Yeah.
That steep decline from where interest rates were, and we've made fun of it on the show, but God knows high, you know, you were over 13%. And that, if you look at it from the mid 80s to today, it's been nothing but a rocky but slow decline down to where rates were.
In fact, I have to correct myself now, and I said 35 years. I'm talking actually 45 years. Mm. You know, when you have to go back 45 years to look at rates in the mid to upper fours.
Mm.
Okay, by the time we got into the late 70s into the early 80s, now you're talking 35, 40 years ago, rates were already in the teens.
Right, right.
That's how far back we go. Okay, so this phenomena of rates being still in the fours, in the low fives, are still what I would consider, Sean, consumer friendly.
Hey, let's move on. You know what I've been noticing a little bit lately, and that is the concept of artificial intelligence. And maybe I'm starting off way off in left field, but stay with me here. We'll bring this home. There's artificial AI. Right, and how it impacts jobs, and let's talk about how it impacts the way that we communicate and interact with service businesses like mortgage. You know, from a commerce perspective, you know, what is it that getting a mortgage and it be completely automated to the point where you don't deal with people, and that's not the case yet. And from what I can tell. People still want to deal with people with something as important as this.
Yes, but, agreed.
Go ahead.
Agreed. What I was going to say is what you want to see is a blend of the best use of technology to try to streamline the process with the benefit of having, you know, professional advice and professional guidance during the process.
You know, Caliber Home Loans has put it in a way that I really, really enjoy parroting, if you will. And that is, we're going to be high touch with you, high touch in interaction with another human being, advocating on your behalf for the right style of financing for you. And we're going to equip that salesperson with an incredible amount of technology. High touch and then high tech.
And what we call it is the ultimate home buying experience.
That's correct. That's correct. So, and I want to kind of cover that a little bit too, but I think it was important that I said it that way because there's a lot of lenders, mortgage lenders, touting their ability to be high tech. And
high tech is another, and by the way, they're using the word digital mortgage in terms of that. And we need to explain what a digital mortgage is, how it works, and how it can best be used in the right way to help facilitate the loan.
But being high technology first and not having the support of real live salespeople who can help you through this, I'm not so sure about that. I think being high touch first and then handing that salesperson incredible technology, all right, is the way to go. And when I talk to customers, they resoundingly talk about, you know, it's okay that I can get online and maybe push a couple of buttons and hand things into you. But when I want to call somebody, I want to get somebody. And when I want to get somebody, I want that person to be knowledgeable. Have you walked around a Best Buy lately? Not to pick on Best Buy, but when I go to Best Buy, it's not the same old electronics. No one can talk to you about anything.
Yeah.
I know more. Well, I have an unhealthy technology fetish to begin with.
Yes, but you know more than the average salesperson, and that becomes problematic for you when you're actually looking to learn about.
And they will send you to they'll send you to the website.
Yeah.
Go to Best Buy. In Best Buy, and you're telling me to go to Best Buy. Can I go over to your computer and go there? It's really weird. You know, so here, I sat down with one of Caliber Home Loans' loan consultant to kind of walk us through, you know, what digital mortgage means to us. Here, watch this.
If you've applied for a new loan, you can quickly check status. You can also upload secure documents needed to support your application. If you'd like personal guidance, locate your local Caliber branch or loan consultant. You can call, send an email, or get directions to a Caliber office. Wherever you go, we'll be there too. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
So I'm here with Shane Connor, a loan consultant from our Edison office with Caliber Home Loans. And, you know, as a loan consultant interacting with customers all day, every day, you know, I thought it'd be great to get your perspective on where customers see a huge lift in using Caliber's ultimate home buying experience technology. You know, so let's go ahead and start with the mobile app. All right.
Sure. So you have a mobile app for customers where they can go on, they can log on securely, they can view the status of their application, upload documents to Caliber, and they can pick their own loan consultant. So they'll have that contact there where they can call them from the app, message them from the app, and everything else.
So what I think about is, like, you know, customers are still getting, you know, interactions with mortgage professionals where you got to show up in person, you're bringing lots of documents. Right, the window for which the application can be taken, you know, that gets a whole lot smaller. I mean, think about the convenience here. I mean, there's lots of mobile app experiences out there, but what I love about what you just said, you know, was it's a secure login. You can view the status of the application all the way through, and think about this: uploading documents directly, you know, to Caliber from your cell phone. That is really hot. Take a picture of, because it always comes down to needing one or two things like that later on in the process, right? And being able to just grab your phone, you know, pull out the document that we're looking for, take a, you know, picture of it and send it to us, you know, that's pretty awesome, right?
Much more user-friendly experience.
I agree. You know, also with that same mobile app technology with us, there's a couple of things you can do post-closing. So we already talked about what the process was, you know, while you're in process, which is great technology. But also there's some added benefit to our Caliber Home Loan apps after you've closed. Maybe talk about them a little bit.
Sure. So once you've closed, you can go into the servicing app. You can make payments, set up an auto payment. You can look at your escrow account to watch what your taxes are, what your insurance is. And it's a really user-friendly app, so you can kind of monitor everything that's going on with your loan right through the app.
You can also, schedule monthly payments?
Yep.
Set up automatic payments, review your escrow account, like you said. You know, what I thought was awesome is you could request removal of PMI once you get to that point through the mobile app. So, you know, this app and this technology follows you not only through the mortgage process, but after you've gotten our mortgage and the maintenance, you know, of your mortgage account with us. You know, that's pretty hot too. Let's talk about a couple of other things too that maybe a customer's. So, you know, the validation of your information is an important process. You know, calling your place of business, you know, and getting verification there. Bank statements, all that. That's gotten a lot more streamlined too. So let's talk about one thing, which is account check.
Sure. So account check is really great. It allows you, you know, I guess when a customer usually sends their bank statements, they're missing a page or they're not able to get the whole thing. So account check lets you log into your bank account and sends us the information that we need, so we don't even have to ask for your bank statements.
So, okay, how awesome is that? How awesome is that? I mean,
makes life a lot easier.
I've told you guys before, I bought a house recently, right? And I gotta tell you, the process of it serves me right, right? The process of aggregating my bank statements, which are double-sided, by the way, when they send them to me in the mail. So a double-sided bank statement with a bunch of pages that I have to print and then scan and then either fax or send or some other how to, you know, mortgage company was a pain. What you just described was, go ahead, do they log in their personal information? How does it work?
So they log into their, whatever bank they use, they log in with their same online login that you would use when you go to the bank's website or the bank's app, and then it captures the 30 days or 60 days of history that we need and sends it right over to us.
And the information is pre-validated. Am I right about that? So
yep.
When you go ahead and decision, or an underwriter looks at this loan, it's what came in as a result of the technology is what gets used. There's no more viewing and sort of scratching off data. It's done.
So it'll show you everything from the account check report. It shows you if there's any deposits that need to be explained and everything right there.
Cool. So moving on, let's talk about sort of the process of employment verification. So we talked about assets and bank statements. How has technology helped with employment and income verification?
So we can also use a technology called the work number, where if a customer applies online and their employer uses that service, we can validate their income, their base salary, their bonus, their overtime, their commissions. And that'll come the same way, right back in a report to us and show us how long they've been employed and all their income information. We can use that to decision the loan and validate everything perfectly also.
Do you still need like W-2s and things like that? Or
nope.
Wow. Wait, I don't need my W-2 and pay stub?
Yep. If that comes back the right way, then you don't have to collect any pay stubs or any additional documents.
Now, what percentage of employers use the system that allows us to do this?
So I think it's growing. There's not as many that started out with it. It's more bigger name companies. Even if they don't use the service, we can still complete a verification through them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a growing number.
Wow. So, okay. So let me recap here. I use the mobile app. I go in and by the way, folks, if this is something that you don't want to do, we're not forcing it on you. You know, remember what I talked about. We're a company that leads with high touch from guys like Shane, you know, and then we equip Shane with, you know, a high degree of technology, not the other way around, you know, where you have to use the technology and I don't know, maybe you'll talk to a person, maybe you won't, right? So just to recap, you have the mobile app, which is awesome, asset verification, all right, income verification. What if I'm self-employed, right? And I got to give you, you know, 1,000 pages, I'm facetious, but 1,000 pages of a tax return. you know, that can be challenging. So what do we have to help out there?
It can be. So we'd still have to get the tax returns, but we can use something called LoanBeam, which goes through all the pages of the tax returns and calculates the income. This way it gives you a number and you don't have to scour through all the tax returns and everything else. It calculates everything, all the income right for you.
So it's reading, even if the tax return is faxed, so long as I have a good quality tax return,
yep,
you zip it through, it's reading the data.
Yep.
All right, and then giving us a number. You know, what we did was we compared this to an underwriter spending hours peering through tax returns, all right, and what an underwriter got and what this system got were so nominally different,
yep,
you know, that I was blown away.
It saves you a lot of time.
I was blown away. So that's a huge one. If you're self-employed out there, you know, and tax returns are an issue with your current lender, won't be with us. Won't be with us. So that's a biggie. Hey, so also, one last thing I wanted to talk about, and we talked about the customer experience through this, you know, but in a lot of transactions, you know, the customer is not our only client, right? Realtors and builders and people who refer customers to us like to know that their customers are being taken care of. What do we have in the way of supporting the pipeline that a referral source may have given us? I think this is pretty awesome too.
So this is a pretty cool app where you can share it with your agents. It's called the Caliber My Pipeline app. So agents can go on, they can be linked to their clients' transactions, view real-time status updates, key dates for commitments, appraisal, that kind of thing. They have all our contact info, so they can email us or call us right through the app. And they can even refer new customers by sending a text message and sharing the app with them.
Now that's pretty awesome. So if you're a realtor or a builder out there and you're looking to partner with a Caliber home loan specialist, man, is it super easy, super reliable, and we're going to include you in on the communication so you know the experience that your client's having. You can follow up with them, make sure that you are referring a company that's delivering not only great price, but the best experience, you know, for your client possible. And the Caliber My Pipeline app for realtors, builders to go ahead and do it, man, it really connects everybody up. Shane, I want to thank you for coming in and talking about your experience. I know you got to get back to doing loans, but
thank you for having me on today, Sean.
No problem, man. No problem at all. Here's our Executive Vice President, Chad Smith, talking about his intro to the home buying experience. Watch this.
I've been most impressed since joining Caliber really with our technology. Our proprietary loan origination system, H2O, really does it all. And it's been designed really by our partners and our loan consultants in collaboration with our technology team to deliver an amazing customer experience. And through all of our integrated applications, proprietary digital income and asset validation, it's all single sign-on. So you really are in a seamless transaction from start to finish. And I think that our mobile applications, which our realtor partners, our builder partners, and our mortgage broker partners can download and then follow their customer's journey through our fulfillment process. So I'm pretty impressed with our technology. Actually, I was blown away when I got here and got a demo. And then now that I've been using it every day and watching our sales floor use it, it really is second to none.
So how was that? Digital mortgage, not bad. Pretty good.
You learned something.
Pretty good.
You learned something. It's quick. It's easy. It saves you a lot of paperwork.
There's a lot there. And now we understand what it means to be high touch, highly interactive with smart people who can direct you in the right direction, you know, and arm them with incredible technology, all right, to assist in the paperwork part. All right.
But you said it best before we cut to our digital mortgage segment, which is a high touch with high tech.
Mm.
Because you can do high touch, but if it isn't done right, it can blow the deal.
That's right.
If you could be high tech, but if the customer's, you know, financial circumstances aren't perfect, it can blow the deal if it's not handled with high touch.
That's when you need assistance more than anything else. I mean, listen, we know that there's a good 10-15% of folks chasing a mortgage who have incredible credit scores, who are buying well below their means, who have clean asset situations, and they're buying properties that are quite vanilla. Well, maybe you don't need, you know, a high touch. Maybe that percentage of the market doesn't. But I got to tell you, a large part of the market, there's some hair on the deal that you need a person to help you navigate through.
Look, when someone goes and starts their mortgage search, there's an infinite number of options out there. And you can go online and start punching in stuff about, you know, where do I get the best mortgage rate? Because that's the first thing people are looking to do. You know, I want the best rate. But with the best rate, are you getting an accurate quote? Are your circumstances laid out?
That snares people in, the rate. You got all these places and it snares people in, and then you get there, and you know, and you look, we've all been there before. You see the Jaguar for $99 a month, and you go down to the auto dealer, you know, and it's...
Well, we made a mistake in that ad.
Exactly. Not only did we make a mistake in that ad, we did it right because you're standing in front of me so I can sell you something else because that was bogus, right?
That's right. So you don't want to be misled. When you're typing in, you know, the internet's a scary place. You know, it could be a dark place. You don't know who's on the other side of that keyboard when you're communicating with somebody, getting information, okay? Different than when you're dealing with a loan professional with years of experience from Caliber Home Loans, for example. Big difference. Who's familiar with the local market? Who has local appraisers doing the inspections on your home.
It's really weird. But I guess what you're pointing to is there's a wide range of mortgage customer experience out there. You still have companies doing it like they were doing it in 1995, you know, and I've heard stories about people, you know, having to submit paperwork, you know, multiple times.
And they think they're sending the same paperwork over and over and over
again. And only archaic ways like mail or a fax machine.
Yep.
And, you know, I still have a fax machine. It's right next to my Madonna records and DeLorean. Right.
So what's a fax machine?
Exactly. I say that all the time. So there's still a wide range of mortgage customer experience out there. You can still get the company doing it, you know, with tons of paperwork, and if that's what you want to do, you know, is walk down with a pile of your life, you know, fine, all the way, you know, to there being really good experiences out there.
You know, with regards to the bad experience that you refer to, you know, there are still people who are applying for loans and finding out at the very last minute, Sean, that they can't be approved.
Right.
And I to this day, I still don't understand how that's even possible.
You're talking 30, 40 days into the process finding out.
Correct.
Think about what's on the line by that point.
Everything is on the line. Their deposit, you've got the whole interest of the seller at hand. You've got a whole bunch of people that are involved in trying to support this process. And for a lender to suddenly decide or determine what should have been or could have been determined up front, it still happens.
I sold my house recently, and I tell you, it didn't dawn on me until we got close to closing. And I'm in the mortgage business 20 something years, but you know, it felt it was an eye opener for me to realize that, man, if my buyer got a mortgage company that was phishing them, right, and then they're going to find out a week before closing that either they don't qualify, can't qualify, or we'll have to push this out by any, you know, undetermined amount of time, that would have been a nightmare for everyone involved.
Exactly.
And it really hit me.
Just imagine you as a seller.
Correct. That would have been a nightmare.
And then we switch over to how that customer feels.
Mm.
The customer that applied in good faith, thinking after they were told verbally, no problem.
Right. So I got to tell you, just you know, think about what we talked to you about today. There's inventory solutions out there. You just got to be creative on how to find them. The Common Sense Index, right? I mean, the 3/8 of a point. I mean, people are out there shopping around, and listen, it's your dime if you want to, you know. But there is the difference between a great mortgage company who's going to deliver on time, make promises they can keep, you know, between a phishing mortgage company, I'm going to use that term from now, that promises you an 1/8 of a point less. Well, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. And so shopping around, obviously do your due diligence, but at the end of the day, you know, 3/8 was $68 a month on a $300,000 loan. You know, we talked about digital mortgage. It's 2018. Come on, get with it. We'll lead with high touch. If you want to participate in digital features, you can, but we're not going to make you. We're not going to make you. You know, so you participate in any of the digital features that we offer here at Caliber Home Loans at your own discourse.
Yes.
You participate with what you want to participate in, what's comfortable to you. All right. And then remember, there's a wide range of mortgage customer experiences out there. You can still get saddled with a company that still thinks it's 1985. So, Mike, we're out of time.
We are.
And it was out of time.
We've got to do this again.
We're going to have to do this again. Thanks for checking in to Reasonably Speaking with Mike and Sean. You know, if you want to catch us again, I'll throw our contact information up towards the end. We're happy being here with you, and have a good one.